Iman is our guest here on the Paula Gordon Show. Bill Russell and I are delighted by that. One of the things I found just charming in The Beauty of Color was that you showed many people, many of the models, when they were very little children.
Yes.
They were little children. And they looked a lot like little kids.
Yes.
They were, many of them looked totally, I don't know, how can you say undistinguished about
them? Yes.
They just looked like little kids.
Yes.
And then you show them in their full glory. There's a book that Annie Leibovitz took pictures of. It's called Woman.
Women, yeah.
And Susan Sontag wrote the
foreword to it.
It's a wonderful book.
Yes.
The most wonderful part of which are the three or four where Leibovitz takes a picture of a Las Vegas showgirl,
yes,
and then shows her when she's off duty.
Yes.
I had that same sort of sense,
yes,
with these little bitty kids who then grow up to be these fabulous-looking women. Well, a lot of these fabulous women just didn't look like much when they were little. And the message in this is
the going back to the young girls, young kids, because, you know, I always thought, when I was a model, that photography is such an important tool, because the absence of these young girls' images or that represent them, the absence of those images, they have low self-esteem. They don't think they're beautiful because everybody else is celebrated. Why not a black girl? And the presence of those images validates them. So I always wanted to try to do something in the book that showed immediately to young girls who are looking at their mommy's books and whatever, and when they see this and they can see it, that, she just looked like me. So I too can grow up to look like any of these girls. And so it was that. Is that back to the self-esteem issue without hammering on their head? Get it, little girls? Yes.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you have to say it more than once.
Yes. But that, and everybody loved those pictures because everybody was like, that's how she looked. And I said, yeah, that's how we all looked when we were little girls.
Some of the fantasy part is also just quite charming. And my hat and Bill's hat are off to you as a stylist. You've done a wonderful job, and that's a business that very few people know exists.
Yes.
But the artistry that has had to come together to create these images is another way of saying, guys, this isn't natural. You say that men like natural best.
Yes.
And then you go off into all of these other places.
Yes.
The fantasy part also has some real merit, doesn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It is like fashion, the difference between ready to wear and couture. Couture is absolute fantasy. And it has its place because we love to look at it. It's like looking at something beautiful that's a piece of art. And so in the book,
but it doesn't have anything much to do with it.
No, not necessarily in real life. That's why, you know, in the book, I wanted to make sure that, you know, the natural things that one needed and the stuff that you needed on a daily basis, foundations, powders, how to choose them, what's the right color for you,
how to make sure that you've got sunscreen in it.
I was the first company, 10 years ago, I was the first company that created SPF in skincare and foundations for women with skin of color. And everybody said to me, well, they don't care about sun protection. I said, the sun does not discriminate.
Cancer is
cancer. It's everywhere. It's with everybody. You know. And the other thing was a bronzer. Everybody thought I was crazy, bronzer for it. But all skin looks a little bit nicer with a little bit of a bronzer because it looks healthier.
I thought I knew most of the tricks of the trade in terms of the makeup, but you had one that was so obvious that I just plain missed, that there are basically four ways to do makeup.
That's right.
And they are?
Yes. Simple. I call it the Fab Four.
And it's so obvious, and yet,
and it is.
Who knew?
Light eye, light lip. Light eye, dark lip. Dark eye, light lip. Dark eye, dark lip.
And that pretty much covers.
If you don't know that, you know makeup.
and it each has a different meaning and a different way of doing.
Yes.
And
we put all the pictures together so you can see the amazing little changes, how it changes the whole face.
We have a colleague who deplores the lack of imagination in. He's talking about American culture, but you know, I think it's probably frequently a human failing. And listening to you, part of what the fun of this is the ability to create yourself. Some of this is, I mean, there's a, how to say, an underplane of just, you know, what beauty is and how to bring it out and express it. But there's also this playful piece, this imaginative piece that allows you to play with your relationship with the world around you. One is your expression of yourself, that inner truth that you've been talking about. But another piece of it is the interaction with the world around you to just more or less treat the world as a stage and redefine your character however you want to define your character that day based on a few simple tools. Light.
Yes, light, dark. You got it.
I got it.
Exactly. It is absolutely, you have the power. This is, I call it, this beauty book is a beauty tool that will teach you whatever you have in your closet, you know, in your on your makeup counter or your bag. Now you can apply a couple of tricks of the trade that will show you how easy it can be as a self-expression. And it goes all back to it. Also, it's very important of what you said. It's not only the face you present to the public or to the outside world. Know yourself. Know yourself. It's really, I mean, people say to me now, oh, now that you have reached 50, it's easier for you to say. I said, no, I've always known myself. I've known myself when I didn't consider myself beautiful, when I was growing up with low self-esteem issues. I knew myself. And I say all the time to young teenagers, it's a rite of passage. It will pass.
As will life.
Yeah, it's we all went through it. Trust me, it will pass. It's a rite of passage to feel low self-esteem. But it's okay. Just start learning about yourself. And hold on to what's really true about you.
I came across, at the time that your book came in, I came across at the very same moment, oddly enough, a fashion supplement to the New Yorker that was something called Fashion Rocks.
Yes.
And it had your husband in it.
Yes.
And he was talking about, actually, he wasn't talking about fashion. They wanted him to, but he sort of said, I don't know. Iman does that. I have no idea. But it was interesting to get me thinking about how much the intersection seems to me to be in the world, as we think about globalization, between music and fashion.
Yes.
And you as a couple, and you both of you related each, and of course David Bowie with makeup.
Yes, I know.
This business of fashion and music really kind of fit together as we expand our idea of what the world is, don't they?
Yeah. I mean, obviously the musicians use makeup as a stage performance, you know. Unlike, I mean, most models refuse to wear makeup when they're not working, you know, because it to them, this is me, yeah, and this is me because otherwise I have to be somebody else because you know somebody, you know. So, and most makeup models don't know how to do their makeup because we always have makeup artists to do our makeup. It's very few of us really learn the tricks because we have to, but most of them know the tricks because it's always there. But they'd rather not do makeup. But with fashion, I mean, a lot of people ask me, did David help you with the makeup? Did he? No, he did not.
Well, I'm not saying
I know, not you.
But there's something very interesting about this connection between music. The music business.
These are both very public roles.
Exactly.
This is,
exactly.
I mean, that's what your job is. If you're a model, you're a public person.
Yes. And I always say, you know, I've always known, and both of us actually have always known the difference between the public and the person. And so we try to keep it as best separate.
I remember it was the history of rock and roll.
Yes.
David Jones.
Yes, I am Mrs. Jones.
Mm-hmm. You are Mrs. Jones.
He was looking very British.
Very elegantly. And he had the most elegant look on his face and the most sincere when he said, I would do anything. I would have done anything to get out of the suburbs.
Anything.
Yeah, exactly.
And then he did.
Yes.
And it was just so, you know, boring, he said.
I know.
But that goes to, I think, part of what, you know, you were talking earlier about responsibility.
Yes.
For most of us, not for everybody, but most of us, you know, have essentially an infinite palette in front of us if we will just use it.
Exactly. And exactly. I mean, he used to listen. He used to listen, he said, at the age of 6, he used to listen to Little Richard. He emulated, he said, in his head, Little Richard.
See, that's exactly where I am. If you think about the way that the Black experience has touched the Black American experience just all over rock and roll.
Absolutely.
And then you bringing the Black image into popular culture. If you think about how the world thinks of itself and makes something new, get fashion and music together are just enormous in
absolutely.
Shaping the world.
Absolutely. And they're so connected in a way, the fashion, beauty, and rock and roll. And they really are attracted into, you know, to one another in that way. And Fashion Rocks, this show that they've been doing for a couple of years now, it's just took off because of that, because of all that. But at the same time, music is singularly, and fashion in that way. But music, because it touches a different part of our soul, music, is, I would consider, one thing that the whole world agrees on it, because there are some songs that will just goes from Timbuktu to India to Nepal. It's the same people listen to it, and it affected the same way for that singular music.
And much of what you've done with the beauty of color is to bring that same sense for women all over the world. We have a couple more minutes when we come back with Iman. We hope you'll be with us when we return.